Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found.
Live from the Police Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome in to a monster Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. Coming up hour 20 from now, the Angelo Cataldi from Sports Radio 94 WIP is going to be stopping by. Eagles 6-0. Phillies have game one of the NLCS tonight up against the San Diego Padres in Slam Diego. So we will chat and connect with the guy that I interned for and is an absolute legend in this business, Angelo Cataldi, at hour 20 from now. Then at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., from the fifth-ranked Clemson Tigers, will be stopping by. Clemson has a matchup this weekend up against top 15 Syracuse. And then in the final hour of the show at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, fresh off that big come-from-behind victory, two-point conversion against the USC Trojans, Utah head coach Kyle Whittingham will be stopping by. But first up, producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
His dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
A very timely drop today, by the way, because Hickey has been able to, I don't want to say form a friendship, because I'm friendly with the guy, but since I'm friendly with the guy, he hates Hickey, because Hickey usually has a lot of, let's just say, points on the radio. So Leroy Horde, the former NFL running back, played his college football, a Pro Bowl running back. This is my favorite thing about it. He played his college football at Michigan. So out of nowhere today, I'm just minding my own business, you know, just sitting around enjoying life, and I get a text from Leroy Horde. And it goes, "You let that Hot Take Hickey know I didn't forget about that ass beating we gave his boys last week. Fifth in the country against the run." And then, ha, 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 ha. And it continued with Leroy Horde talking a lot of smack. And I think Hickey had to just change his diaper again because now he's intimidated that Leroy Horde's going to fly up from Miami to kick your ass just like the Michigan Wolverines kicked the crap out of your Penn State Nittany Lions. So how about that? A former Michigan football player, a former NFL running back, he can't stand Hot Take Hickey. What do you have to say about yourself?
Hey, listen. He can be mad. He can talk all the smack he wants. Michigan may have won on the field, on the scoreboard.
Oh, you're such a loser.
You know where they lost the game? Or they lost the entire day?
They didn't lose at all.
With their awful, pathetic, weak maze out. Leave the color-coordinated crowd.
This is an all-time low.
To the experts.
This is an all-time low.
And I also want to say, I'm not intimidated by
Leroy. You guys never win a big game, so you get big crowds. You don't win a big game. So what? You guys show up? Is that what Penn State has become? Participation trophy you? That's what you guys are becoming? That's what you're saying? Because I guess Michigan had a maze out or whatever
you
were saying.
You guessed. You didn't even know. You watched the game. You couldn't even tell because it was that bad.
They kicked your ass. They embarrassed you. And they took your lunch.
Show some emotion for once. My goodness gracious.
I've been to the Big House before. I actually had a conversation today. I took my dad out for lunch today, being a good son. And my dad goes, what's one of the best environments you've ever been to? And this was on the cusp of me going to Penn State at the end of the month, as I'm planning to go to Penn State, Ohio State. And I said, well, the best stadium I've been to, just in the way the stadium was built, was SoFi Stadium. But if you have to put in history, and if you have to put in the atmosphere and all of that, I go Notre Dame or the Big House. That's just for me. And my dad goes, you've been to Penn State before, right? I go, yeah, I've been to Penn State before. It's a great crowd. It's a great atmosphere. But if you're going to say that the Michigan fans aren't passionate and the Michigan fans aren't crazy and nuts, you've lost your damn mind. And that's what you've gone to. That is how low your football team has taken to you, that you need to throw a party because you guys throw a whiteout and you're afraid to actually maybe get beat in this whiteout game, that you have to have this whiteout this year against Minnesota? That's who you're having the whiteout against? You got to schedule an easier opponent than a tougher opponent for the whiteout because you're afraid about maybe some of the better opponents on your schedule, Hickey. I don't know if I usually have respect for you. I try to have respect for you. This is an all-time bad moment for you. You've had a lot of bad takes, and trust me, we'll get into your Broncos takes because they are looking the farthest thing from a Super Bowl team. They're not even a Super Bowl contender. Nathaniel Hackett is looking like the farthest thing from a top three coach of the year. Russell Wilson, he looks like more like the most valuable bum in the NFL, let alone the most valuable MVP. All things that you said. But all of that pales into comparison to this take now that your response to Leroy Horde and the best smack talk you could come up with when a former NFL running back is trying to take a shot at you is, oh, well, your crowd wasn't great. That's all you could do.
I mean, what else do you want me to say? I mean, I was running for 100 yards yesterday.
You just take your beating and shut up.
Leroy would have put on pads. He would probably run for 200 yards on Saturday if he was playing. Like, they couldn't stop a nosy. What do you want me to do?
Now,
right, for 418 yards.
I will say this. As pathetic as that is, it's not as pathetic as what Penn State did in that little kerfuffle at halftime between the Penn State players and the Michigan players. You love peanut butter and jelly, right? I think it would be
favorite food of all time.
I think it would be peanut butter and jelly, Penn State. Actually, no, peanut butter and jelly, the Mets, Penn State, the Colts, and then your girlfriend, probably in order of most important things in your life. Correct, Amundo?
No, that is actually very false. What? My girlfriend is number one for sure.
Stop.
Without a doubt.
You gave up spending time with your girlfriend to watch a Colts preseason game.
It was the most important preseason game I've ever seen. What do you want to do? It's history.
You were such a loser.
They didn't even play well in that game, so not great.
Yeah, they got killed. Surprise, surprise. But anyway, you love peanut butter and jelly. It's your favorite food. Did you see a Penn State player, staff member, I don't know who it was hurling peanut butter and jelly, a sandwich, two sandwiches I saw thrown from the Penn State locker room directed at the players of Michigan? That is horrible. That's an embarrassment. I thought their run defense was embarrassing. Shout out Manny Diaz, hello. But the most embarrassing thing I saw from that game was at halftime when the Penn State players or people on Penn State are wasting good peanut butter. Like, what are we doing here? That's a disgrace. You had to be living with it. You may need to find a new school.
I've not seen the video, so I cannot confirm nor deny
convenient.
It was a PB&J that was being thrown. Maybe it was ham and cheese. I'm hoping maybe it was a grilled cheese.
Peanut butter.
But if that's the case, bad job. Bad job. I don't really know what that's going to do, number one. I mean, you get a PB&J thrown in your face or
what's
with
your
a helmet
peanut
on.
Peanut butter again?
Jif.
Oh, yeah, that's
the
right.
The only one.
No, the really bad peanut butter. Skippy's better. Maybe they just had some bad Jif in
that's
the locker room
take.
With all that salmonella. Hey, Skippy didn't get on any recall recently. Maybe
Jif no one's
just
eating it. That's why. No one knows they got salmonella.
You're so wrong on that. But maybe with Jif, that was actually like a decent line. You finally showed up and had a pulse today, unlike your Penn State football team over the weekend. But maybe they got a bite of that Jif peanut butter and go, ugh, salmonella, and just started throwing it at the Michigan players because of that disgraceful brand of peanut butter. But you got to be disgusted. You have to be disgusted.
Oh, I am, yeah. At every facet. The run defense, peanut butter and jelly is getting wasted. It was a bad Saturday.
Very
From noon to 3 Eastern.
And the only thing that may be able to top that Saturday was just your weak and pathetic and bad response to Leroy Horde. Anyway, I am not surprised in something that we learned today. I'm just surprised in how we learned it. So last week we talked on this show about Dan Snyder. And there was this article from ESPN that Dan Snyder has hired investigators and they are tracking NFL owners and Roger Goodell because he has this fear that he's going to get kicked out of the league and they're going to vote him out. And Dan Snyder basically wants to send a message in this report that if you're going to kick me out, I'm not going to go down without a fight. I'm going to burn the house down with me and I will expose everything about all the other skeletons that are in the owner's closet. Now, on this very fine radio program last week, I said, call his bluff, NFL. And Hickey disagreed with me on this, but I said so many people would be doing somersaults and cartwheels in the street and would be jumping up and down like fat kids in a candy store if you removed Dan Snyder, that maybe, other than a 24-hour, 48-hour kind of time period reaction, they would probably put aside all that information that Dan Snyder may or may not have just because it means that Dan Snyder's out, and they would chalk it up to Dan Snyder being salty or Dan Snyder just kind of being like that crazy uncle at your barbecue that you go, yeah, whatever he's saying, even though you don't agree with anything he's saying, just so you could distance yourself from the conversation. Now, we had Grant Paulson on, if you recall, from 106.7 The Fan in D.C. last week, and I asked him, do you think 5 years from now, Dan Snyder's still going to be the owner of the Commanders? And he said, yes, but I'm not as confident after reading that article as I was if you would have asked me like a week ago or 2, 3, 4 years ago. And I said on this show that I do think there is momentum moving to get Dan Snyder out of the NFL, and it would not surprise me, and I would expect that through time, he would lose his team. Now, Jim Irsay, Hickey's favorite owner in the NFL because of the team that he owns, the Indianapolis Colts. There's NFL owner meetings going on, I guess, in New York right now. And Jim did address the media. And when talking to the media, Jim Irsay said that he believes there is merit to removing Dan Snyder as the owner of the Commanders, which that is a big time statement, because I felt as if there was a push from the owners to get Dan Snyder out. But I never would have thought in a million years, when you knew this was going to be a topic of conversation this week, that you would get an NFL owner on the record speaking out publicly and shredding and making a case for Dan Snyder to get the boot out of the NFL. And I guess there was a follow-up because you need 24 votes from the owners to kick Dan Snyder out and to get that process underway. And Jim Irsay, when asked, do you think there will be 24 votes? He goes, I think potentially there will be. So now, the way that we're going to kind of look at this is I'm not surprised that momentum is shifting to Dan Snyder getting out of the NFL. I'm just surprised that one owner was so blunt, was so honest, and was so direct about it, where now this is going to be a major, and I mean a major, topic of conversation. And all the pressure now goes to Dan Snyder on what information do you have, if any at all, that is really damaging. And are you going to release that information now? Or are you going to wait until whenever this vote occurs, once the NFL wraps up their investigation and all that, and wait to react, or are you going to be proactive? That's what I'm wondering. And if you know anything about Dan Snyder, the guy plays dirty, and he's petulant, and he's immature, so it would not surprise me in the next week, next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or maybe as quick as 24 hours, if Dan Snyder starts talking to members of the media, not with him on the record, but just leaking information about maybe what he has on the other NFL owners. Now, if you're Jim Irsay, who does have a controversial past, he must feel pretty confident that Dan Snyder has nothing on him, because today he basically challenged Dan Snyder, you want to track us owners? You want to attract the commissioner, Roger Goodell? Well, come get some. We want you out of the league. I want you out of the league. There's potential for you to be dismissed. And I think I have other owners on board that would agree with me enough to get you out. So go unleash your information. That's the way that I interpreted it today when Jim Irsay, not that he directly said that, but he did say that he thinks there is merit to remove Dan Snyder as the owner of the Commanders. So Hickey, once again, I'll say it. I was never surprised about momentum moving for Dan Snyder to be out. I just never thought you would have an owner on the record this early in the game with the article last week addressing it. And once again, Jim Irsay shows you, when you put a microphone in front of his mouth, you have no clue what the heck he's going to say.
I am just as surprised as you. I did not see the source, either being Jim Irsay, of all the owners that would, you know, speak out on this issue for sure when it comes to Daniel Snyder's future. And to your point, too, just how quickly this happened. When the article was released last week, I did not think this was, if it ever was going to remove it, happen anytime soon.
Like, if someone was going to talk about it, you'd probably think it would be Jerry Jones. And I know that they're close, supposedly. And he's talked about this, but they didn't give anything explosive. Or Robert Kraft. Like, those are the two owners that probably around the league carry the most clout. And I would also say the Rooney and Mara families as well. But John Mara is not really outspoken in a critical way about the NFL. You know, I don't usually hear him being, let's say, a center of attention kind of guy like Jerry Jones is, in the way that Robert Kraft also likes to attract attention his way.
And you mentioned before, Jerry Jones was asked about it on the 105.3 The Fan in Dallas last week and basically just gave the shortest answer I think I've ever heard Jerry Jones.
Right. Yeah, you're right. We played that.
He's not talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. And now it's like Jim Irsay, whether all the owners have talked about it in the meeting and he was just kind of repeating what was said, or he's just kind of getting the ball rolling, he gives the owners no choice now but to talk about it and frankly make a decision. Like, right after you hear what Jim Irsay is saying, the clock is ticking, right?
Well,
don't the owners have to start now having a discussion?
I would think that Jim Irsay is speaking for how he feels a large contingency of owners speak. Because if a lot of owners were on the side of keeping him and not kicking him out of the league, and you're the one guy that's saying, yeah, let's kick him out, then you become unpopular. So he has to think that he will have the backing of the owners when he goes out and speaks about this publicly. So, from Mike Florio, per source, the owners-only session hasn't happened yet in New York. So Irsay's comments make a conversation on Daniel Snyder unavoidable. And I don't think Daniel Snyder's at these meetings. If I remember last week, it's Tanya Snyder who now goes to all these meetings. But then I saw last week that this ban of, wasn't really a ban, but Dan Snyder stepping away from day-to-day operations, like, isn't the case anymore, and he's back to resuming all responsibilities, which you could just do that for a show last year when it came down. His wife was technically the person running day-to-day operations. They live together. They eat dinner together. They sleep together. It was just a complete clown show by the NFL, and they gave him a fine. What does the fine actually really do? So I'll ask you this. In 5 years from now, is Dan Snyder still the owner of the Commanders? Because I said last week momentum was shifting for that to be the case that he was going to be out. I don't expect him to be. I think this is a major step where I don't expect Dan Snyder in the next 5 years to be owning this team anymore, because finally owners are turning on one of their own, and you usually don't see that in the NFL.
I mean, at this point, I'd say even 2 years.
I was just throwing out five. Right. The way Grant.
I thought he was going to be there in 5 years, but I mean,
now you never know how
really
these NFL
turned.
Investigations work, plan it out or play out. So who knows on the timeline of it? But I think we are moving closer to the end of Dan Snyder sooner rather than later. And I would have never thought, with how they protected him for years and years and years and years, that would be the case. And I know people could say it's about the workplace conduct and the culture and all that. This may come down to him not being able to get a new stadium. That may have been the last straw that broke the camel's back for the NFL owners when it comes to Daniel Snyder. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. A statement I never thought I would say on the radio. And I was very pessimistic about the Broncos this year, but I'll say it next. Actually, I'll say it right now and let it marinate. The Seahawks right now, I can't believe I'm saying this, are winning the Russell Wilson trade. We discuss it next.
Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Let me have you hear a little Jim Irsay audio. It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And Jim says there is reasons to make Daniel Snyder sell the team.
You know, I believe that there's merit to remove him as owner of the Redskins. I think it's something that we have to review. We have to look at all the evidence, and we have to be thorough in going forward.
And then Jim also said on when a possible vote could happen to potentially remove Dan Snyder as the owner of the Commanders.
It's hard to say, you know. You know, I don't know how long it will take. Certainly, we're going to be thorough and look at everything. And you know, it could be at the March meeting. It could be. I don't know. But I know we want to be thorough.
So in the Seth Wickersham piece that came out last week, first off, Daniel Snyder completely denied, to no surprise, everything that did get reported in the piece by ESPN. I'll just ask you this question, Hickey, because this kind of ignited more conversation about this and ignited maybe a more contentious feel between Dan Snyder and the other 31 owners, potentially turning on Jerry Jones, basically saying that they've hired investigators to track the other owners and track the commissioner, Roger Goodell, to air all their dirty laundry if they're going to kick out one Dan Snyder. Who do you think released the Snyder view of this to Seth Wickersham? Was it maybe some of the other NFL owners that got wind of this? Was it Dan Snyder himself? Was it confidants to Dan Snyder that started to feel maybe that Dan Snyder was going to get kicked out of the NFL, so we have to throw this inflammatory information out there? I wonder who was the main Snyder source in this stuff. I know it was people close to Snyder, they said, but I wonder really who was the person that revealed the thoughts of the inner thinking of one Dan Snyder right now.
I would guess Dan Snyder or someone working for Dan Snyder.
Someone that Dan Snyder instructed, maybe?
It's not pro-Snyder, right?
Yeah.
But it's one of those where it's kind of like an open threat. Like, hey, if you're thinking about this, just kind of, you know, remember what I got going. If this is someone that was upset with him, I don't think you would make the dirt known, I guess I'll say, because that kind of only helps keep him around instead of getting him out faster.
And not only that, it would be a very much so of a Dan Snyder move where I feel threatened, so I'm going to start punching back and I'm going to start going to the level of, oh, well, I may have done this, but I have X, Y, and Z on you. So if you think you're going to try to get me out of the league, I'll put out information X, Y, and Z to try to expose you. This really does feel like we're dealing with toddlers. And it was a serious issue, but we're dealing with toddlers that are growing up like a brother and a sister fighting right now, or two brothers really fighting. That's what this feels like.
kind of pathetic, but when you're dealing with billionaires and billionaires,
it's a lot of billionaire babies. A
lot of petty.
855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Jay in Alabama. Jay, what's shaking, my man?
What's going on? First of all, how you going to break the bro code on live radio like you did probably about a half hour ago?
What did I do?
Man, you ratted on your boys and said, oh, you watched the, you chose a Indiana Colts game over your own girlfriend. Now his girlfriend's got to hear that.
Yeah, but that was already well documented, Jay. I broke that bro code about, like, before the start of the season, so almost 2 months ago now. We did a whole segment on it. We had an intervention. Our boss called in. We had producers from down the hall come in, people that were concerned about Hickey. I was messing this one up. So that was already aired publicly on the radio.
This is the one time I feel bad for Hickey anyways, because, you know, you already know me and Hickey's history, but this is the one time I feel bad.
What's your history with Hickey?
I mean, I wasn't
Hickey?
There. I'm the one who was calling him Dumb Take Hickey. Bro.
Oh, that's right. That is right. That's no, great. See, I was being nice. I was just calling him Hot Take Hickey. You called him Dumb Take Hickey, so I applaud that, Jay, in Alabama. That's a great job out of you.
No, that was it was some inside beef me and him had on Twitter. But as far as Snyder, bro needs to chill, because, I mean, just like one of my friends down here on the rail down here was saying last week, like, dude, this is you snitching on a bunch of billionaires. Like, you know, you ever heard of the name Jimmy Hoffa, which nobody can't find, or Huey P. Long, which has a bridge named after him in New Orleans that nobody can find? It's like, dude, it's kind of like you're really breaking a billionaire's code right here. And it's kind of silly. It's kind of, you got to be a real narcissist to really be willing to take you and everybody else through something like this. You know, it's like cut your losses and go.
Yeah, if this was the Sopranos right now, and if we were playing Sopranos out in real life, he would have been whacked. He would have been like brought on a boat, and they would bring him out, and they would just whack him and throw him into the sea.
Yes,
exactly. Like big you know who, 110% correct. Jay in Alabama. Fun fact, my cousin's ex, who's a very nice guy, this guy Steve, in the show The Sopranos, he was big you-know-who's son in the show Sopranos.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. I mean, like, one of the all-time great late 90s and early 2000s. I mean, edgy at the edgy, you see it every season, every episode, but this really, like, comes off as that. And, like, you remember... Remember the coach that was, I forget the coach got fired from Miami, and he was saying, like, oh, they're fixing games. And
Brian
I'm gonna
Flores.
Prove it. Yeah, you see how quickly that like, see? You know what I mean? Like, that got extinguished real quick. And even, like, in the movie Concussion, the doctor had people camping outside of his house that he didn't even know. So it's like, dude, this can get real ugly for you. You're talking about snitching on billionaires, and I'm not trying to insinuate. But we're just being real, and this is real life. Like, and it's almost like, what kind of dirt do you got on these guys?
Well, that's what I said. I would love to know what the dirt is, and thanks for the phone call, Jay in Alabama. I would love to know what dirt he has, because I think whatever information he has, unless if it's the most explosive stuff in the world, I think a lot of people would just rejoice if Dan Snyder lost the team and go, okay, you have this information, you talk about it for 24, 48 hours, then you let the games go underway. Like, if you're Snyder, you would have to wait until the offseason to release this. Because once the games get underway, yeah, it's a story, yeah, we would talk about it, but if it's not damaging, if it's not explosive information where your jaw's hitting the floor, you're probably going to move on rather quickly, like everything that the NFL survives. And yeah, there may be people that be irate about it, and I don't know what information he has, but I would call his bluff. Because I do think there would be a large contingency of people who've been begging for years to get this guy to the NFL that wouldn't care what information that he has and would just say, thank God this jackass is now finally out of the league. Let's go to David in Dallas next up on the Zach Gelb Show. David, what do you got?
Hey, so I was calling in also about the whole deal with Daniel Snyder. So Jerry Jones comes on one of our local stations, you know, every Tuesday.
Yeah, the Fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 105.3 The Fan. So He comes on there every morning, every Tuesday at 8:30. So they waited until the very last of that show to lob that question at him as far as Daniel Snyder. Were they going to take a vote on that today? Because, you know, there was one representative from each team meeting and yada, yada. And Jerry's response to that was, I mean, just very matter-of-factly, he said that that is much more of a media thing than it is an internal thing, and that they had no plans whatsoever about voting or discussing anything about getting rid of Dan Snyder.
Well, that's fine, and that's maybe the way that he wanted to sidestep it or thought that would be the way that it's playing out. But when Jim Irsay is at this media availability and is talking about Daniel Snyder, maybe they weren't going to talk about it, and Jim said, bleep this, I want you guys to talk about it because I want the guy out of the NFL. And thanks for the phone call, David. I think that it's either two things. Yeah, maybe they weren't talking about it, and Jim goes, no, I want you to talk about it. But once Jim says what he says, it's unavoidable. And these owners-only meetings, according to Florio, where it's only owners, like, haven't happened yet. So I would imagine, Ryan, it's either one of those two things, that Jim wasn't happy that it wasn't discussed, or maybe it was being discussed. Jerry said what he said, and Jim gets that sense that Daniel Snyder, not a popular person right now with NFL owners.
I would have to guess it's probably the latter, right? Like, I don't, maybe I'm wrong. Again, because Jim Irsay just kind of, as whether it's videos after a loss or he just does just kind of talk, you know, and speak his mind.
They have to talk about this. When an article comes out last week that one of the owners is reportedly hiring investigators, no matter if he denies it, to track the other 31 owners and the commissioner, and also there's stuff about Jerry Jones in here, maybe the biggest owner of them all. But he's not going to touch that guy. I know the NFL loves to sweep things under the rug, but when it's about your own owners in a meeting for the owners, you can't sweep that under the rug.
Which is why I'm with you. I think that's they've talked about it. And Jim Irsay, I think his comments come from the background of knowing he feels pretty good. We'll say that if there is a vote, 24 would say you're out of here. I don't think he's just kind of lone wolfing this and throwing it out there when it hasn't been discussed, or there's a strong sentiment to keep Dan Snyder around.
And that's the other thing. What is the information that Dan Snyder has? And does he have enough information on owners that the owners that vote to keep him will make sure that the 24 isn't met? That's the big thing. And I can't see when you have 30, it's 31 owners. Well, does Snyder get a vote? I don't know if Snyder gets a vote or not. That would be pretty weird. Hey, obviously he's going to vote yes. But you need 24 owners to say, kick him out. And we don't want him to be there. And obviously Snyder, if he did have a vote, would say, yeah, we're not going to kick me out. But do you even have enough information, and is the information even damaging enough to break that threshold to make sure that it's not 24 that are voting against you?
With Jim Irsay's words today, doesn't Dan Snyder soon have to release at least something?
Release the information. Yeah, pretty much.
Like, what else are you waiting for, right? This is kind of calling him on his bluff.
Yeah, and if this plays out during the season.
We'll see if he has some real dirt or if it's just kind of, you know, puff pieces or just TMZ clickbait that's nothing real substantial.
I suggested to call his bluff, and I'm happy Jim Irsay basically did that today. When we come on back, the Seahawks, yes, the Seahawks, right now are winning the Russell Wilson trade. Will that continue?
Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start, sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
The Washington Commanders have released a statement. It was picked up by The Washington Post. if you're just getting into your car, just tuning into us, I'll quickly summarize what you missed. We know what happened last week. ESPN article comes out where the allegations are that Dan Snyder basically told the other NFL owners, if you kick me out of the league, I'm going to take you down with me. I have private investigators following you and also the commissioner, Roger Goodell, and I won't go down without a fight. Today, Jim Irsay, while at these owner meetings in New York, was talking to the media and said that he feels like that there is enough for Jim Irsay to potentially see the rest of the NFL owners kick out one Daniel Snyder from the NFL. And he also gave the quote of, I think potentially there will be, when asked if they could get 24 votes to oust one Daniel Snyder as an owner. He says, I believe there is merit to removing Dan Snyder as an owner. So we're all waiting and waiting and waiting for the Commanders or Dan Snyder to fire back. Here is what a Commander spokesperson just released. It is highly inappropriate, but not surprising that Mr. Irsay opted to make statements publicly based on falsehoods in the media. It is unfortunate that Mr. Irsay decided to go public with this statement today while an investigation is in process and the team has had no opportunity to formally respond to allegations. The Commanders have made remarkable progress over the past 2 years. We are confident that when he has an opportunity to see the actual evidence in this case, Mr. Irsay will conclude that there is no reason for the Snyders to consider selling the franchise, and they won't. And that's how, and they won't. Just to reiterate how they ended that statement. So Daniel Snyder's basically saying, Jim, there's not going to be any evidence that goes against us. We're not selling the team. Pretty much bleep you, and it's not surprising that you elected to pop off to the media. Well, clearly, Jim Irsay is pretty confident what's going to go down here, and he thinks that there is something damaging, and maybe he's also annoyed that there was a threat through the media last week of Daniel Snyder tracking the other owners and having a private investigator not only track the other owners, but the commissioner and Roger Goodell. I don't know about you, Ryan. If you had to ask me to pick a side here, do I agree with the 31 other owners that, I'm not saying all of them, but maybe there's a majority feeling that Jim Irsay gathers that they want Dan Snyder out? Or am I going to believe that Dan Snyder is going to be proven to be doing the right thing when there was already a punishment and now this investigation keeps on going, and I say punishment in loose terms? I got to think that the other owners probably represent more on the side of Jim Irsay than, oh, Daniel Snyder really did nothing wrong here. And when the facts come out, you will see that Dan Snyder is an innocent man.
I agree. Yeah, I don't think Jim Irsay is saying this without at least having pretty good support behind him, that again, if there's has to be a vote, or if there's a, you know, a division for Dan Snyder against Dan Snyder, way more owners will be on his side against Dan Snyder, wanting him to sell, compared to those kind of, you know, pushing to keep him around still.
Now, Mike Florio brings up a good point here, and this is on Pro Football Talk, and this is Florio responding to the statement. The statement also glosses over the fact that the NFL imposed significant punishment on the Commanders in July of 2021 based on facts from Beth Wilkinson's investigation that the league swept and kept under the rug. As 106.7 The Fan in D.C. reported, and as Pro Football Talk confirmed, Wilkinson would have recommended in writing, if asked for a written recommendation, that Snyder should be required to sell the team. So there's already, from this punishment, that if Beth Wilkinson was asked to recommend in writing that if Snyder should sell the team, that supposedly she would have said yes. If that was the feeling then, and now there's this other this investigation that's ongoing, like, there's already guilt that is associated here. So why do I think when more stuff comes out here that Dan Snyder's going to start to look like a good guy when he never looks like a good guy? That's what I'm hung up on.
All you need to know is that that report was given verbally, not written. It was supposed to be a written report.
Yeah.
For one reason. They didn't want it getting out. They didn't want any written evidence of her findings because they knew if it became public, they just gave no choice but to force them to sell. That's why it was verbal. That's why we've never heard any findings in the investigation that the NFL did not want us to know. And that is why, like I said, if there was a written report and she was asked, should he sell the team, the answer would have been yes, and we've never really found that out.
He's going to lose the team. He will lose the team.
The hole is getting deeper and deeper.
Don't get me wrong. It is going to get ugly. And this is going to get contentious because Jim Irsay basically said, you're going to lose the team today. And Dan Snyder's like, oh, no, I'm not. And you're going to be wrong for saying that. The Commanders and the Colts do play one another at the end of the month. And that game is in Indianapolis. How many Commanders fans who don't even go to their own team's home games because the stadium stinks and the team's a disgrace, how many Commanders fans are going to fly to Indianapolis with number one Commanders jerseys that I just saw online with the nameplate on the back of Irsay? How many fans are going to be doing that? Because all Commanders fans have been doing for years, and deservedly so, down on one knee, please, please, please sell the team, Jim. Sell the team, Dan. Dan, you got to sell the team. You know what we may have to do with that game at halftime? Steel cage match. Jim Irsay up against one Dan Snyder. That's what we may have to do, Hickey, at halftime of that game. But you could have a large contingency of Commanders fans at the end of the month in Indianapolis. And we all thought that game was going to be about Carson Wentz. Now Carson Wentz isn't going to play. But you could have a large contingency of Commanders fans giving Jim Irsay a standing ovation.
Go figure. The man who saved the Commanders could potentially be Jim Irsay. Man of the year.
Crazy.
Man of the year right there.
It really is. And this may be the most positive thing that Jim Irsay has done in a long time. It has nothing to do with his own football team.
I'm sure the Commanders would give like a team MVP at the end of the year.
Yeah.
It should be to Jim. Give him a game ball. That's what you do. Give him a game ball end of the game. Even if the Commanders lose.
Could you imagine Frank Reich in the locker room? Walks in. Guys, I got to go to the Commanders locker room real quickly. Hey, Commanders, we just want to give you a game ball. We're going to bring our owner in, Jim Irsay. We're going to give him game ball because he's going to get your owner out of the league.
And Ron Rivera's probably coming to the Colts locker room.
Ron Rivera.
Jim, thank you.
Is probably on the phone right now with Jim Irsay and goes, oh, you're my Lord and Savior. Thank you so much. You just saved me from so much heartache having to deal with this guy again.
He might be crying. Like, if I'm around Rivera, I'd be crying tears of joy. No, it hasn't happened yet,
well,
but this is the first step.
He had a breakdown last week over this article because in the article it also said that he didn't want Carson Wentz and that was a Dan Snyder move.
Cut the press conference short. He had enough.
Yeah, fake outrage. Yeah, he can't stand Carson Wentz. That's clear, no matter what he says. Anyway, do you agree with this statement right now? And we'll get into this more later on in the show, but we've been teasing it. But this whole Dan Snyder, Jim Irsay fight has just totally taken over the show, and understandably so. You were adamant, like a lot of people, when the Broncos got Russell Wilson, there's no way the Seahawks could have won the trade. I remember one take you had in particular where we had a conversation about this. Did the Seahawks even get enough for Russell Wilson? And you said no at the time. Right now, would you agree with this statement that the Seahawks are winning the Russell Wilson trade right now? Geno Smith's playing better than Russell Wilson. Not only that, the Broncos just committed a big-time contract to Russell Wilson, and the Seahawks get a first-round pick. They already have another first-round pick, and they used one in the last draft, but they have their own first-round pick, and then the Denver first-round pick, which could be a top-10 pick, and could make them draft their quarterback of the future for Seattle. Are you ready to go that the Seahawks right now are winning this Russell Wilson trade as the Broncos just totally look lost and Russell Wilson looks lost?
I mean, yeah, right now through six games, it's not even close. I mean, it's not even close.
Now, you said last week that the Broncos were going to make the playoffs, so.
2 months from now, it could change, but right now it's slam dunk.
You've been all over the place here. Are you on the record now that the Broncos are going to miss the playoffs? Or are you still saying that, yeah, they could still get it together, still with the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah? Oh, stop.
Yesterday was the breaking point.
About time.
Yesterday, I've had enough.
You know what, Hickey? We need to get the music up. We need to end this segment right now because during the break, I need to run into your studio and I just need to give you a hug on the other side of the glass.
Now, if they fire Nathaniel Hackett, week 8?
No. Russell Wilson stinks right now. He doesn't even look at one half of the field. His shoulders banged up. His hamstrings banged up. The guy was bad for the last year and a half, and we all looked right past it because we all blame Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll and John Schneider love Russell Wilson. And if they wanted to trade a quarterback like that, it made you basically understand from their side that they didn't think he was going to be that good that much longer. And Russ has become insufferable. You see that new Subway commercial? Another one that came out. Ooh. Guy is just trying way too hard, way too hard. Come on back. We got a news brief update on the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Zach Gelb Show. I'm about to go give Hickey a hug. CBS Sports Radio.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire. And with trades. And with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.